Hello, everyone. This is Father Michael Rubling from St. John the Evangelist Church in Severna Park, Maryland. I'd like to welcome you to our Finding Joy Retreat, Dare to Hope. This is our first Finding Joy Retreat we've ever done online, a digital version. I'm very happy to welcome all of you with us. You know, as we enter into this retreat, we're doing this during the time of the coronavirus, and it's a time where hope is something we desperately need and that we're yearning for. So in this retreat, Dare to Hope, where we're asking St. Teresa of Lisieux to guide us, I hope you all enter into this time, to enter into the outline that we provided for you and the talks, and really give yourself to what the Holy Spirit has for you in order to give you hope during this time of crisis and time of doubt and frustration and suffering. But as we enter into this first talk, let's take a moment to step back, invite the Holy Spirit in, and really pray that the Lord gives us hope. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, into our minds, our hearts. We are in desperate need of hope. And Lord, may we be able to trust in you, infuse and give us hope into our hearts that we can't do on our own. Lord, I ask that every one of our listeners, people entering this retreat, would be filled up with your hope that comes only from you, and in that they would have the confidence of St. Therese, confidence in your goodness. And Lord, only you can do this. We do nothing by ourselves on our own. You love us. You all are all powerful. And you take care of us. Please give us hope. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, in order to introduce our first talk, we first have a talk about what hope is. And hope, in a very basic definition, is a trust in God's goodness and the help of his grace in this life leading us to heaven. So what is hope again? Hope is trust in God's goodness and the help of his grace in this life leading us to heaven. And as we reflect on hope, we have to ask the question, why? Why is hope important? We could just reflect on our basic struggles of our lives. It's hard to hope when we deal with suffering, pain, anxiety. On top of all that, we're dealing right now with this worldwide pandemic of the coronavirus. And for many of us, we're in our homes, we're dealing with the difficulty and frustration of perhaps being by ourselves or with our families who we don't spend literally all 24 hours of the day with. And it's frustrating, it's difficult. And there's the despair and frustration of having Mass canceled. And Lord, I don't know how to deal with this. I don't know, in the midst of all of this, how to have hope in you, how to deal with this. So our world is full of despair right now and lack of trust in God's goodness due to sin, our own sins, sins of others, the sufferings that we endure, and just the global suffering of this virus. So that's why we need hope. That's why this retreat and this time of prayer is so important. And as we go on this retreat, we're going to use as our guide St. Therese of Lisieux. So to give you a brief introduction of St. Therese, she's a very young saint. She was born in 1873 and died in 1897. And she was called by one of the popes after her death, the greatest saint of modern times. It's interesting, she's called this greatest saint of modern times. She's a doctor of the church, but she was a small Carmelite nun in Lisieux, France. She left the country one time to go to Rome, make a pilgrimage to Rome. But other than that, she stayed in basically 100 miles from where she was born. Very small, little girl, you know, physically. But she is a towering giant of prayer, of trust in God's mercy, and her confidence of what God can do for her. So we're going to have her be our guide. And for those of you who want to enter more into her story and to explore the way in which she guides us to God's love, she wrote a spiritual classic, The Story of a Soul. It's one of the great classics of spirituality. I highly recommend you read it, pick it up after this retreat. Therese grew up in an amazing family, another thing that we're going to return to in these talks over and over again is she grew up in an amazing family. She has two saints as her parents, her mother and father, and she has four sisters who became religious, you know, entered religious life. So she came from an amazing family, and that gave her a foundation to receive a confidence and hope in God that is really profound, and we want to learn from her. Another part of her spirituality that we find in her story of a soul and in her family and her letters and inspiration of her life is her spirituality, which she called the little way, that she wanted to follow Jesus in the little things of life. So as we follow her example, let's follow her little way. So in exploring hope, one of the interesting things in reflecting on this topic is a lot of our ideas about hope and trust in God are going to be challenged here. So we often think in our humanness, in our brokenness of sin and suffering, that God is going to act a certain way. That if certain things happen according to our plan, our preconceived ideas, that's the way God's going to act. And my friends, that's not how God works. He surprises us. His plans are always good, but it's difficult. It's not what we expect. And walking with St. Therese, her being our guide, she is able to show us the surprisingness of God's goodness and God's love. I'd like to use, as we enter into hope, two kind of preconditions or ways, dispositions that set up a way to walk with Therese toward hope. And an image I like to use is Therese's relationship with her father. She loved her father. Her father was this very gentle man who called her my little queen, and she called him my king. And it is her relationship with her father that gave her a great confidence in the love of God the Father. And she talked about one of her letters to a sister that she looked back fondly upon when her father would return home from work, that her father would come home and she'd run up to him, give him a big hug, and then she would wrap herself around his boot. And her father would walk around the house in the garden with Therese sitting on his boot. And I can imagine little Therese just running around the house, loving, playing with her father. And this image brought to mind two crucial virtues that we need to have when we talk about hope and our preconceived ideas being challenged about hope in God. The first and foremost is humility. And humility, as we approach Therese, can be defined as the humility to be led. So you can imagine Therese walking around her house. Imagine yourself as a little child walking with Therese. She has the humility to be led by her father. You know, we see this in little children, playground or whatever. They're willing to be led without asking any questions. Their parents, you know, parents will protect their children, guide their children, give them good things. And Therese knew this about her father. But imagine, my friends, Therese not only knows about her earthly father, she also knows about God the Father. And so she's willing to be led by him. She has the humility to be led by God the Father. And we need to have the same. But in the midst of Therese walking around her quote-unquote spiritual house, she also is confident in his goodness. And also from the scriptures, you know, we remember Jesus saying, ask and you shall receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened. She has the confidence to ask good things, not just the humility to be led, but the confidence to ask. So as we talk about hope, we also have to have the confidence of Therese to ask for good things. When we want something, ask God for it, not to shy away or to think that God would never do this for us, because he wants to give us good things. And Therese is an amazing example of this. So let's take, as we enter into this theme of hope, these two ideas: humility to be led and a confidence to ask. Humility to be led, confidence to ask. Our first talk is going to be based on a quote of St. Teresa of Avila. And actually, both of our first talks will be based on this one. So St. Teresa of Avila had this little phrase that she would say, that she talked about as the foundation of hope. And the phrase is this: God is all powerful and he loves me. So our foundation of hope is this: God is all-powerful, and he loves me. It's an amazing little phrase. And our first talk today is going to take that first part of the St. Teresa's little phrase, God is all-powerful. That's our first talk. So let's enter into it. My friends, when we talk about God, we often speak of him in terms where we see him as too small. We put him into a box. He's big, but he's not that big. And an image I'd like us to reflect on is this. You've probably seen people that come home from Italy that go see the Leaning Tower of Pisa. And many times they will often take a picture of themselves from a good distance away from Leaning Tower. And they often present themselves as like holding up the tower or having their hand underneath the tower and they're kind of holding it up. And what they're doing is presenting themselves in a unusual or a false perspective from the actual Leaning Tower of Pisa. They're close to the camera, this tower is far away, so they can seem like they're holding it up or they're having it in their hand. But what it is a false perspective done for humor, right? Done for a laugh. But sometimes we see pictures of theirs where they're standing at the base of the Leaning Tower and we see how small they are as compared to this architectural feat, this amazing feat of architecture. My friends, our view of God can often parallel this image of the Leaning Tower of Pisa. So often we present God as that first picture of us holding him in our hand, or we are holding him up. And my friends, we're not seeing him in the proper perspective. We're not seeing how powerful he actually is for us. In fact, in order for us to understand this first foundational idea of hope, we need to understand that God is all-powerful. We need to place ourselves at the base of God, see how small we actually are before him. And in this talk, I'm going to talk about two images from Scripture to illustrate that for us. So let's jump to the book of Genesis, right? The beginning of the Bible talks about the creation account, God creating the heavens and the earth, the 6 days of creation. There's an interesting, almost a funny line when we examine that part of Scripture, where it says God created the heavens and the earth, da 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 da. And almost as a side note, it says, and the stars. God created all things, oh yeah, and the stars. Genesis 1:16. We hear that line, that's fine. But if we take a step back, what does that actually mean? How many stars are there? Because if we're actually to look at this and find a foundation of hope, who God actually is, we can look at how many stars God actually made and see how small we are and how big he actually is. So there are 100 billion stars per galaxy in our visible universe. And there are billions of galaxies in our universe. So let's take a step back. 100 billion stars per galaxy in our known universe, and there are billions of galaxies. And according to the contemporary knowledge about this, science about this, there are 1 billion trillion stars in the visible universe. I'll say that again. There are 1 billion trillion stars in the observable universe. That is 21 zeros. 21 zeros. That's how many stars there are. But for those of you who are, okay, fine, Father Michael, there's 21 zeros after this number. Fine. Let's make it visual. Okay. All right, imagine, put out your hand, imagine there's a grain of sand in your hand. That grain of sand represents a star. If we're to represent every star as a grain of sand, and let's take these 1 billion trillion stars and make a sandcastle out of it with these grains of sand. How big is that sandcastle? That sandcastle would be 5 miles long, 5 miles wide, and 5 miles high. That's incredible. That is a lot of stars. And my friends, that God is your God. The God who made all of those stars is in charge of your life. 1 billion trillion stars. That God is in charge of your life, and he loves you. He is not worried about anything. He has made all things, all creation, and he is taking care of you. He is not anxious. He is not afraid. All of the things that are happening in your life, in the lives of those around you, and throughout all of human history are guided by him. This is the God we worship. This is your God. So let's go from Genesis and skip up to Jesus and to the Gospels and to the life of Christ, and especially St. Paul's reflection on the life of Jesus. If we turn in our Bibles to Romans 8:11, we hear this amazing line. So once again, Romans 8:11. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his spirit dwelling in you. So it's a little bit complicated. Let's take it piece by piece. There's a lot being said in even the first phrase. If the spirit of him, God, spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. All right, let's stop there. The spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead. All right. Imagine that you are in the tomb of Jesus. Jesus, his dead body has been taken off of the cross. You imagine the nail marks in his hands and feet. Imagine his lifeless body laying there on the slab. He has been scourged. So his entire body is lacerated, cut up. There's blood everywhere on this slab. Imagine the crown of thorns being taken off, but on his head, there are the holes, the puncture, the wounds, the tearing of his flesh that happened with the shoving on of the crown of thorns. This body of Jesus is laying there, cut up, bruised, pierced, lifeless. Jesus is lying there. 3 days later, the Spirit of God will come and resurrect the body of Jesus. That is power. The God who created the stars comes to give new life to the body of Jesus, to raise this bruised, beaten, lacerated, cut up body to life. And St. Paul says, that same Spirit of God dwells in you. You who are listening to this, you who have been baptized, received confirmation, the Spirit, Holy Spirit, is in your body. And St. Paul goes on, he, God, who raised Christ from the dead, will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit that dwells in you. My friends, think about the issues in your life right now. Whether it is simply dealing with the coronavirus and the fear and anxiety of what's going to happen, being with your family in your house for a long time, maybe having to homeschool your kids, stay home from work, deal with anxiety or fear, or perhaps it's just more of the same things that you've dealt with your whole life. Perhaps difficulty with friendships, your marriage, your children wandering from the church. Perhaps you deal with sins, addictions, sins that you've asked God to take away from you and they haven't for years, for decades. My friends, compare that problem to a lifeless body laying on a slab. If God can raise the body of Jesus from the dead, can he not raise up your life also? Can he not transform your life? God is all powerful, and we need to use the confidence and humility of Saint Therese to believe in that power. He is the one who created the stars, the one who raised up Jesus from the dead. God is all powerful. My friends, just to conclude our reflections and to make this concrete, especially with our time of fear and isolation. And isolation is a big piece of this whole time of the coronavirus and being at home and our life here in America. We are isolated and we are alone. It's a reality. In the midst of all of this, God is with you. He is all powerful. He is all around you to lift you up and support you, but he wants you to invite him in and to give power to your bodies, but also to your spirits, to allow you not to be afraid, to be confident in his love and his power for you. And this we see in the lives of saints, those saints who have tried to live this out. We see it in Saint Francis. You know, Saint Francis, before his big conversion, he encountered a leper in Assisi, the town he lived in Italy. And Saint Francis, before he became Saint Francis, he was just Francis. And in order to not disappoint his friends, in order to distance himself from the leper asked for money, for something, and Saint Francis shooed him away, rejected him. But he felt so guilty about rejecting the leper that he left his friends and ran after the leper and gave his clothes to the leper and then knelt down and kissed the leper's hands. As we are fearful about the virus and what's going to happen, think about Saint Francis, who, yes, he was afraid of the leper, but with the courage of God, he ran after him to serve him, to give him what little he had, and to show him love. And are we not called to do the same? Even if it may not be through physical contact, but rather in just offering a kind word, calling somebody, sending aid to somebody, or it might be taking care of a loved one, and we might be scared of contracting the disease ourselves. But my friends, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead, who created the stars, is with you. And talking about people who contract the disease, think about Saint Damian of Molokai. So Father Damian, as he was back then, so before he became a saint. Remember, no saint starts off a saint. We are each saints in the making, God willing. Father Damian, he contracted leprosy when he worked with lepers in Hawaii. And he wanted to receive confession like anyone. So he contracted this dread disease. My friends, masses are being shut down here in the Archdiocese of Baltimore and throughout the United States and throughout the world. We can't receive the sacraments as readily or almost at all. Yes, we are in a unique time, but we have seen this in the lives of saints. So, for example, Father Damian, he contracted leprosy, and there were boats that would come to the island of Molokai to send supplies over. Imagine, Giant or Safeway, sending their supplies in. And so they would send over these supplies, but Father Damian wanted more than just spiritual help. Or more than just physical help. He wanted spiritual help. He wanted to hear someone hear his confession. So what he would do in creativity, he would have the priest stand on the edge of the boat, and he would stand on the edge of the pier on the island, and he would shout his confession to the priest. He would shout his confession in Latin, and the priest would respond back in Latin so no one could understand him. And this is how he would have his confession heard. My friends, in the midst of all of these issues and discouragement about not being able to go to Mass or confession or receive the sacraments, God will provide for us. We have to be creative. The church is providing a lot of ways that we can enter into prayer and receive the sacraments spiritually. But Father Damian, Saint Damian, provides us an amazing example of this. And lastly, just think about the example of Mother Teresa, Saint Teresa of Calcutta, who spent decades working with the poorest of the poor in India, in Calcutta, the slums. She went in and encountered malaria, hepatitis, AIDS. And she went in and day out to serve them with a smile on her face in the midst of some spiritual, complete spiritual darkness and discouragement. And she kept saying yes to Jesus. That is powerful. That is amazing to see her example. And if you were to ask her, she would say she'd never relied on her own power. It was the all-powerful love of God stepped into her life to allow her to do this. My friends, we need to return to this foundational phrase of St. Teresa of Avila. God is all-powerful and he loves me. In this first reflection, we reflected on that first part of the phrase, God is all-powerful. He is the one who made the stars. He is the one who raised Jesus from the dead. This God, your God, this all-powerful God is in charge of your life. Do you trust in him? Do you hope in him? If the answer is yes, but I need to trust more, hope more, then take this time of prayer to trust in him, to allow him to give you a new experience of hope, to implant hope deeper into your heart and life, that you may trust that he is all powerful. Amen.